The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to William Hill's Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Tuesday's racing on this edition, and you'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:50pm with Mick Norton, Niall Hannity and Mark Slater in the studio. It's Exeter, Southwell and Wetherby, the three meetings on Tuesday, and we're going to look ahead to those in just a few moments. But right now, my name is Mark Walton and I'm joined in the studio by Mr. Stephen Powell. How are you, Stephen?
Very fresh, remarkably, Mark.
Yeah? Why are we expecting to be tired?
A little bit, yes. Yes, it's been a very busy week and start of a new week and raring to go.
Yeah, start of a new week, but let's look back at last week.
Okay, yes.
We're going to do the Monday Ajari, which reflects heavily on the Cheltenham Festival. And it'd be interesting to get your thoughts on a few of these questions, Stevie boy. So the first one is, which horses blew you away at the festival and which left you disappointed?
In terms of blowing me away, back to the very first race, having sort of evaluated it all and gone through, Votor was really so impressive in the Supreme on Tuesday. Really was. I mean, I think because it's the first race, obviously everyone's really hyped up and really looking forward to it. But by the end of the week, I wouldn't say you've forgotten what's happened, but I think you need to go back and look at all the races again to try and take it all in properly. And having had a chance to do that over the weekend, it really was a tremendous performance.
It was breathtaking, yeah.
Yeah, unbelievable. The way, having gone at a decent clip all the way and then to quicken and just leave good horses, I mean, for dead was really, really, as you say, breathtaking. And I'd probably side with him. There were obviously other moments that I thoroughly enjoyed. I am a sucker for a close finish, so I particularly enjoyed Balthazar Kings winning the cross country and Fingal Bays winning the Per Temps.
I also enjoyed both of those.
Yes.
Because I had financial reward in both races.
Oh, that's good. That's good. I mean, the Gold Cup, it was hard not to be excited by the Gold Cup finish. To have six horses in a line jumping the last was good. But in terms of the actual result, obviously pleased with the respective connections. But sort of, you know, I think because we've been spoilt a little bit, I think, in the last, since the turn of the century, with Best Mate winning three, obviously the Corto Demon rivalry for 3 or 4 years, Imperial Commander, who was probably almost as good as those two as well, but just things never fell completely right for him, despite the fact that he won twice at the festival. He won the Ryanair as well. We've been sort of spoilt, and this year was very much, I think, in the Gold Cup, a Gold Cup of old, where you get, you know, probably the better stayers that win, not the best horse. I wasn't sort of overly, you know, thrilled by the Gold Cup. And I think the Champion Hurdle left, overall, when you've, to the disappointment, if you made me sort of choose, the Champion Hurdle, I think it was just, in the end, probably unsatisfactory race, because it was obviously, you know, and I thought it was going to be the race of the week. And obviously after the fall of our Connor, the interference to the new one, a disappointing one, I think, probably from Hurricane Fly to a point. It wasn't everything that it could have been. And the fact that the best horse for me didn't win with the new one, obviously. So that was a disappointment, the Champion Hurdle, I think. And Votor was the best. To the best and worst came in the first 2 hours of the festival.
Yeah.
The rest is irrelevant, really.
I'll throw more of that into there as well. I was very impressed with him.
Yes.
To do that after just five starts.
Yeah.
Five starts, isn't it? He could be anything now, couldn't he? He could be a Gold Cup horse, well, the next couple of years. Or
the great thing about it is that both him and Annie Power are only six, aren't they? So, you know, we could hopefully see them for the next 5 or 6 years. And although more of that's a brother to Eastlake, who's a decent 2 mile chaser, I think looking at the staying hurdling division, they should probably, I'd keep him there at least for next year, which I think they will. I'd be surprised if they didn't. Because with championship hurdlers, they only tend to go chasing if they can't maintain their sort of hurdling form. Mike Rockon Ruby, he was a good hurdler, not a vintage champion hurdler winner, but a very good hurdler. But now he's not good enough in that grade, so they went chasing. And unless that happens to him, which I don't think he will personally, I think he should stay hurdling and could be the new force on the staying hurdle front.
Okay, well, that leads us nicely into the next question then, because how many of the four championship winners can you envisage following up? More of that?
He's definitely the most likely of the four. Definitely, without shadow of a doubt, because obviously I sort of outline the unsatisfactory credentials of the champion hurdle. Whilst I like Jez Key, and you know, I was pleased for him to win, as I say, for me, the new one would have won with a clear run. In terms of Cider Grugy, I was really pleased that he won that, because, you know, obviously there was people saying they weren't really convinced that, you know, and he's sort of lucky that Sprinter Sacra weren't there and all that sort of stuff. So I'm pleased that he did win, but the case may be that Sprinter Sacra's back next year, and so it was going to be much, much harder for him. Although, in fairness, if Sprinter Sacra doesn't come back as good as he was, there's nothing really from the Arcole that screamed to going to make a big splash in the two-mile division anyway, so it wouldn't be the biggest shock in the world if he did. And then the Gold Cup, I'd be very surprised if Lord Windermere. Very surprised if he wins it.
That would be quite a shock for me.
Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me if he ran well in it. But
it's just it's just so hard for a horse to back up in the Gold Cup, as we saw with Bobsworth.
And only one horse has done it in, 50 years nearly. Mm.
Yeah. I must say as well, for Cider Grugy, I did take him on quite a lot before the festival, and fair play to him, because he doesn't like Cheltenham. The ground wasn't ideal for him, and he still won easily.
Well, he doesn't like Cheltenham. Three runs. He's won the Champion Chase and finished second on the other two.
Yeah.
One of them was only his second run over fences.
It's not his optimum.
What are his optimum conditions?
Well, like something like Ascot had to him better. We've seen it suits him better.
Mm. To be fair, he's got a good form at Sandown as well. Yeah, I suppose maybe going right-handed slightly better.
So credit to him. That's all I'm saying.
That's what I mean. No, I agree. Yeah, I was pleased for him that he's sort of proved silenced the doubters.
Yeah, if there was one race where I was like, fair enough, I'll take my cap off.
Yeah,
well played.
Yeah.
I think it was that race.
Indeed.
Which horses who didn't run in the Gold Cup this year would you like to see in 2015?
Obviously Q Card, who didn't make the festival at all.
Doesn't.
But I'd like to see him in it. I'm not saying I want to see him win it. I'd just like to see him in it.
Yeah.
Q Card. Dynast, because I think it's a natural, it's not okay to say it's a natural progression is probably a bit much, but horses who win the Ryanair when they're sort of seven, the year after their novice campaign, and then go, you know, obviously Imperial Commander's done it. Q Card would have gone, you know, would have ran in the Gold Cup. So I'd like to see him, and Dynast as well. Obviously, with Sir Deschamps, if he comes back from an injury, he's going to be there as well. Last year's runner-up, and having won at two festivals and been placed at another, he's very going to be interesting. Takan de Soy going up in trip, I think, is going to be really interesting as well for John Joe. Champagne Fever next year. Because I think he's not to be beaten. I know he got beaten by the outside of his entire field, but only for beating a nose in an Arkle when he's never been a 2-miler. So the fact he's won a bumper, a Supreme, and been beaten ahead in an Arkle, I think shows that he's a fair horse.
That would be quite a good renewal if
well, if all these turn up, I'm gonna say, and then obviously Bobsworth and Sylvan Arco will be back, I would imagine as well. But the one I actually really think will run a great race next year, at this point anyway, obviously a lot to happen between now and then, is Smad Place. Really like Smad Place as a horse.
Would you throw off Ireland's boy in there?
Well, you've got to if you think Smad Place is going to run well, to be fair. But out of the two, I just think, you know, Smad Place, he's still only seven.
Yeah.
Feels like he's been around for years. But he jumps tremendous. He's a great jumper. He jumped by far the best in the RSA, and he'll stay as well, that extra trip. So yeah, if all those turn up, it'll be a great race next year.
It certainly will. On to the fourth question then. How would you campaign Annie Power next season if she were yours?
I would go chasing, I think, if she was mine. Obviously, the hurdle division is pretty hot with Jezky, My Turn to Yours, the new one. Under Sir, stable companion. Votor as well, I think, could be included in that. Because you see, this is what, obviously, they've got with Faheen, Votor and Annie Power have got three horses who all could be very good chasers, but to send them all chasing in the same season would be ridiculous, really. So I think Vautour should have his chance in open company. He's only five after all. And I think he can hold his own in that company as well. And obviously Mullins hasn't got another really good... Well, Hurricane Fly, I think... It wouldn't surprise me if he won at Punchestown, Hurricane Fly, because his best performance has always come there.
Yeah.
But he's not going to win another champion hurdle. And he is going to be 11 next year. So he's obviously going to start slowly fading away from the top of the tree. And I think Vautour deserves a chance. Annie Power, I would go chasing with her. For the 2 mile division, because she's so strong, I think a really quickly run 2 mile chase would really suit her. And then Faheen up to the other 3 mile division. That's how I would plan it out if I was the Mullins team personally. And so Annie Power to go chasing Arkell next year, I think.
Yeah.
So, but maybe in a couple of years, the champion.
Yeah, the
maybe in time, the Gold Cup, because she obviously does stay. So there's no argument that she doesn't stay after the World Hurdle for me. She'd be at Fisher's Cross by about six lengths.
Yeah, but would she stay 3.25 miles if she's fast enough for two?
Well, she's only six.
Meh.
I mean, to be fair, if she's fast enough to two and to win the Gold Cup, it would be a fair horse, because there's not many horses that can do that. Probably can in the last 20 years on one hand. I mean, Corto was one which made him so good, you know, multiple Grade 1 winner over 2 miles, as well as winning the Gold Cup and the King George. And Desert Orchid did the same as well. But, you know, there's not many that can do it. But I think as a young horse, now she's going to be, say, 7 in the Arkell. By the time she gets 9 or 10, she might be ready for a Gold Cup if everything planned out in the long term.
Mm. Interesting. So, yeah, I mean, in the next, if she takes the, she could do the Arkell next year.
Mm.
And then
win two champion chases.
Yeah.
And then line up in the Gold Cup in 2018.
Wouldn't be a bad career, that, would it?
No.
Interesting. Right, the fifth question. What were the riding and training performances of the week?
Well, training performances. A lot of trainers had a very good week.
Mm.
I mean, obviously, Nichols and Henderson were the only two, although they had winners. Their winners came in at one each they had in the handicap. And part of me thought it was all right that they didn't dominate, you know, but, you know, and they obviously got their respective winners. John Joe's had a great week, hasn't he, really?
Yeah.
Really has had a good week, John Joe. Jim Colotti, although it's an obvious one to say because he won the Gold Cup, but Spring Heeled winning the Kim Muir on Thursday was his first winner since Spring Heeled won at Killarney in August.
Yeah.
And so to have two runners at the Cheltenham Festival and they both win.
Yeah.
Which is probably I think it's probably fair to say the weakest handicap chase of the week, possibly. And then, I'm not weak in terms of quality, not competitiveness, obviously, and the best chase of the week in theory is quite amazing. And he's only been training for what? Five years, so I'd have to doff my cap to him. But there's others. Gary Moore, Cider Grugy, obviously, you know, a dual purpose trainer, winning on the big stage was great.
Yep.
And an honourable mention for Noel Mead as well, who's was planning a big team at Cheltenham. They got a bug. They didn't have any runners for 3 weeks at all in February. He sent two horses. Verywood wins the Albert Bartlett, and Ned Bunline gets beaten by a head in the Grand Annual, off the back of a yard that are, you know, in trouble with illnesses and stuff like that. That was that good effort as well.
Yep, it was, yeah. What about jockeys?
McCoy was good on Takander Soy, I thought, considering he'd had the life kick, 7 bells of stuff kicked out of him.
He had a considerable limp after the race as well.
Yeah.
He was struggling to walk, so that's fair enough.
That really was, really was great. And David Russell, he was cool in the Gold Cup, I have to say. I mean, he was turning to the straight with a circuit to go.
Yeah.
And we watched the race together and we commented that he was detached at the back and, you know, to pick his way through and win was a good effort.
And the fact that he was replaced by Brian Cooper, and he could have got quite fractious about that, or he could have kicked off about it. The fact that he just didn't, just carried on with his work and then rode two winners for them anyway on the Friday.
Yeah.
It's not only a good riding performance, but credit to him as a person as well.
Yeah, mentally and emotionally. Yeah exactly. I concur completely.
Okay. Good. And the final question then of this week's Monday Jury. If you had to add and or lose a race, what would you choose?
Well, I was disappointed, I have to say. Simon Clayes, the clerk of the course at Cheltenham, has put in the paper that if he had to lose one, it would be the fault Walwyn Kim Muir.
Yeah.
Which, I know, I suppose if you were building the festival from scratch now, you wouldn't put it in. But it's been part of the festival for over 60 years, and so I'd be disappointed if that ended up getting the axe swung at it, because yeah. I think there's one or two races which probably deserve it a bit more. I think the Mayor's Hurdle is very, very tricky.
If Quvega hadn't won six in a row, it would be a terrible race.
Yes, it would. Yeah, if you took Quvega out, I mean, you know, there's some nice mares out there, but the best mares should be running in the best races, which are the champion and the world hurdle.
And that's what happens anyway.
So generally, yeah. Yeah, like Annie Power. But she only ran there to avoid Quvega, didn't she? So I think he's on thin ice. Personally, the Mayor's Hurdle for me.
Plus, if Annie Power had won the Mayor's Hurdle, we know she's a great mayor. You'd have just said, well, she should have won that.
Yeah, exactly. She hasn't actually achieved anything that we didn't think was possible anyway. So, and I wouldn't necessarily want to add one either, because I think we've probably got to the point where it's saturation. But if I did, I would probably aim... I don't want a 2.5 mile hurdle, because... It's going to detract from the world and the champion hurdle. Yeah. The thing about the Ryanair, because the Gold Cup's that bit further, it's not 2 and 3, so it's bang in the middle.
Yeah,
it is sort of it
out and out stayers.
Yeah, and really split, but yeah, and they're bang in the middle. Where for a hurdling, it'd be different because they are 2 miles and 3 miles.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't want to see one of those added. I mean, I am in favour of a veterans chase personally. Last week, every horse that ran in the festival aged 11 or 12 got beat, and I think there was only 2 10-year-olds placed. And it's going to be a case of if you're 10 or 11 and you're championship quality, you're running the championship races. But, you know, if you're lining up in like the Bayliss and Harding or the Byrne Group plate, you're running against horses that are 6 and 7, potentially very well handicapped, and it makes life very difficult for them personally. So maybe one of those, but...
And we might actually see Get Me Out of Here win a festival
race. Yeah, Get Me Out of Here might actually win a festival race, bless him, I know. So, all in all, I don't really want to add another one, but that would be my personal preference. And to get rid, the Mayor's Hurdle might be under some pressure if it was me personally.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'd quite like to see a veterans race because you get the horses turning up year in, year out at the festival, and when they're just not quite good enough anymore, it'd be good for them to still have a chance to get back in that winner's enclosure one more time.
And also, I think it would benefit the fox hunters in the sense that a lot of horses who are on the downgrade at the end of their career go hunter chasing, point to pointing. If they've got a big race to keep them in, you know, professional training for, it would benefit the fox hunters, because then you'd get more horses from a grassroots pointing and hunter chasing level running in it, as opposed to horses that are professionally trained but are at the end of their careers.
Yeah, all good stuff. Right, that's the Monday jury then for another week, and that's the Cheltenham Festival for another year.
Could have talked for another half hour about that, Mark. Yeah.
Well, let's carry on then. Now let's look ahead to Tuesday's racing. We're going to look at some of the racing at Exeter and Wetherby, starting in the 410 at Exeter, and this is a Class 3 handicap chase over 3 miles, and 9 of them in the lineup here. And where do you want to start in this one, Steve?
Well, I'm going to start at the top, really, to be honest, and then just work through them, because this race is really interesting in the sense that you could make a case for all 9 horses if you tried. I mean, number one, Handy Andy, we know has got a lot of ability and he's a good horse, but he's very, very inconsistent. He won well in an amateurs race at Cheltenham back in November, but he's pulled up and finished 7th in his 2 runs since then. Better ground at Exeter might help him, but he's got to carry top weight, and it's a case of how much do you want to trust him, really? Like, we know he can do it, but it's a case of if he's going to. Imperial Circus won at Ludlow first time out this season. Goes well fresh. That was on good ground as well. Not seen since finishing an honourable 4th in his first run in a cross-country chase, which was at Cheltenham in December when he was behind Sarka Lange. And as I say, it was his first go. And I think he may well have... there's something in the back of my mind telling me that he may well have been declared last week for the cross-country as well, but didn't get in. So... conditions will suit, yard in form, goes well fresh. He's the one I'm leaning towards.
Okay.
Kian Shen Leader was second behind Improving Horse over this course and distance in the autumn as well. Not been seen for 100 days, again waiting for better ground. Disappointing the last twice, but back on, as I said, a decent surface. Philip Hobbs has got Woodford County as well as Imperial Circus, having just his second start over fences when he won at Chepstow. This is a much harder race, and I think it is interesting and notable that Richard Johnson rides Imperial Circus. Lambert Lad, not suited by soft ground last time, but it was his first run for a while as well, and I think having had that little blowout and back onto better ground, he could run well. Max Bygraves has dropped to below his last winning mark, third at Cheltenham after a long break last time out, but he was very inconsistent before he had his break. And Amy Gale, she was competitive off marks about £10 above what she's off now 2 years ago, and she went well for a long way behind Monbeg Dude last time. She led over two out, but then just faded tamely on the running, to be honest. And again, this is easier, so I do think she'll run a good race, Amy Gale, but I'm going to side with Imperial Circus. As I said, he goes well fresh, posted a good effort. Two of these three runs this season have been good runs, and the yard are in good form.
Okay. Imperial Circus then in the 410 at Exeter. The 420 at Wetherby is the next race, and this is a class 4 handicap hurdle over 2.5 miles. And shall we start here with Summer Lee, who had been knocking furiously at the door at Catterick until last time when she finally got ahead in front.
She did indeed, yeah, and well deserved after 3 seconds as well.
He's a boy.
Yeah. Yes, well deserved after 3 seconds as well. But he won, being dropped in grade, being placed in a couple of class fours, went into a class five and wins. Now he's gone back up into class four and up in the weights as well as a result. So I think he might find it a bit tough, but the fact he's in form and running well, he's very much, you know, positives for him. Kent Street has come down a long way in the weights for Sue Smith and Jonathan England, and showed a bit more at Southwell last time out when finishing third. So if he can build on that, it wouldn't surprise me if he showed up prominently. Hartside only ran badly once this season, and that was when he was behind Lac Fontana at Cheltenham in January. The rest of his runs have been pretty good, but he struggles to win, and I think, again, will probably run well without winning. And Devere is not a horse that I've ever liked that much, to be honest. Hasn't won over hurdles since 2008. No longer improved. And if anything, he's regressive on the best form that we know that he had from when he went at Cheltenham, etc. And the sort of hurdling, chasing, mixing it up, trying to just find him a race. And for me, he's not the horse that he was. I think the danger to Summer Lee is probably number 6, Murty's Delight, trained by Dr. Richard Newland. Hasn't had all that many starts for the doctor, a lot of them on heavy ground, finished weekly on a couple of occasions on heavy ground as well. This is the first time he's ran on good since he ran in a point-to-point a couple of years ago, and he's wearing a tongue tie as well. And I just think maybe going on to some better ground, those weak finishes that have sort of been dragged out of him on heavy ground, you know, he might be able to build on better, with a better surface, basically. He's not going to be slogging his guts out so much. So I think there's a more positive run in the offing from him.
Okay, so is that the selection?
Tentatively, yes.
Okay. On to the next race then, the final race we're going to look at. This is the 4.55 at Wetherby, and this is a class 4 handicap chase over 3 miles and 1 furlongs. We've got 1 furlong. We've got the dead 8 in the lineup, Stephen. How do you play this? Is there an each way angle in, or...
Wow, it is a very tricky race, Mark. Very, very tricky. Some good old names in this as well. But we range from the lightly raced and unexposed to the ridiculously exposed, and we know sort of their level. Horses like Everard and Allen are down at the bottom, Sergeant Pink probably at the top as well, and Fiddler's Reel in the middle of the list. All could win in terms of their best form, what they've showed, because they're generally inconsistent, but can bounce back and run good races. And if any of them won, it wouldn't surprise me. Harry's Hawk was well beaten by Phil the Power, who's a decent horse here last time out, and this is an easier race, so he's ran well on both his runs this season, so I'd expect him to be involved. But the two I think that he might revolve round in the finish, hopefully, will be number 2, Dee's Dynamo, who finished second on his chase debut, which was quite a good run in the autumn, but then he fell and then he pulled up shortly afterwards. He's been off for 103 days, so I presume that something just wasn't quite right with him after those two runs. Cheek pieces for the first time, and interesting that they are pursuing the fencing option with him and not going back hurdling, because they could have done quite easily to retain his novice status. So I'm interested in him. And Settled Out, of course, he had really good form when he was consistent. He ran on heavy ground, soft ground, good ground, and progressed well, but it was very disappointing at Ayr last time, but the ground was really, really bad there. He's been off for 50 days, and I'm prepared to forgive him one bad run, because the rest of his runs are all generally quite good and quite solid, so I think there's something must have not been right that day. Back up in trip on better ground, I think he could bounce back, said the lad of court, and he's the one I'm going to side with. Him and Dee's Dynamo, the two, I think, just going with a young, unexposed sort of angle.
Yeah, and settled out of court's best form has been on good and good to soft, so heavy probably wasn't history last time.
Exactly.
Okay, fair enough. Let's just have a quick summary then, Stephen.
4:10 at Exeter is going to be Imperial Circus, Mark. 4:20 at Weatherby. Tentatively, Murty's Delight, horse number 6. And then in the 4:55 at Weatherby, I think settled out of court will bounce back to form.
Fantastic. Thank you very much, Stephen. Enjoy it on Tuesday.
Thank you, Mark.
So there you go. The thoughts of Stephen Powell on Tuesday's racing. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:50 p.m. with Mick Norton, Niall Hannity and Mark Slater in the studio. Exeter, Weatherby and Southwell are the three meetings, and you'll hear all of that on Racing Radio. So do tune in for Tuesday's action. Thank you very much for listening to the William Hill Racing Podcast, and enjoy Tuesday's racing.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.